Hockey talk. Hockey talk. Hockey talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, like, survive.
I got to shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
At 11:25, let's talk some pucks. No, it's not Friday. It's Monday. And, of course, the playoffs are here. And that means more of the guy who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline, Andrew Razor Raycroft, in to break down Game 1 and look ahead to Game 2. Razor, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you guys, Fourier's got Bruins fever, so you need to talk to me a little bit more.
I took notes. I mean, I made sure I went over everything. I mean, there's lots of layers to this series, you know,
Who was the guy that was missing for Toronto?
Nylander.
Very good.
Oh, Razor, how will the Toronto Maple Leafs do without Nylander? Oh, I heard that he skated this morning. Do you think he'll play?
Well, in all seriousness, not having Nylander in the lineup, Razor, really cut into the depth of Toronto, and considering it seemed like their mode of attack in Game 1 was to go out and try to fly around and be physical, that's tougher to do when you're when you don't have one of your key guys out there on the ice. I thought it was all a very curious choice. What do you make?
Something was up, but yeah, the Leafs stunk. The Leafs were they played really poorly. They played out of character, trying to be tough guys. I mean, I think they're better than that. I think they're a lot better than that. I think we're going to see a much better effort, whether Nylander's in or not. They're better players. Should put something together better than that performance in Game 1.
When it goes to the whole, hey, it's only one game, do you think the Bruins are excited the fact that it's only, you know, one game, they get to beat up on Toronto a little more? Or do you think they're more nervous about it? How do you take that phrase?
No, I don't think they're certainly not taking them lightly, but at the same hand, they're not nervous about it. I think they're happy. It always feels real good to get the first one. It just mentally, it puts you in a good spot. But I think, like I just talked about, they know the Leafs are going to come with a better effort. They're going to be much more desperate, probably more disciplined, and the Bruins are going to have to, you know, up their level one or two notches as well.
Razor, why did Toronto try to match physicality with the Bruins? That's not them at all.
I have no idea. Of course, you have to be physical. You have to up your physicality. But Domi going at Marchand on that before the puck even dropped was I was sitting there watching, the game's over already. Why would you try and get under Marchand's skin, guy who's won a cup, he's done it for 15 years, he does it better than everybody else. You're not going to get, it just doesn't make any sense to me why Domi would do that, and he took the stupid penalty, his coach has been on him. So I think this is part of the Leafs' problem, and I'm not sure if they can fix it over the next 10 days, is that they get themselves too amped up, and they don't really know what it takes to win. Again, I think it's a better effort, but if they try and do it again, if they're trying to get under the skin of these Bruins, I mean, it's a failed effort, and it could be a quick series.
Yeah, but don't you think it was that's our philosophy for this game, or, you know, our history. Like, we don't have a great history against this team. Let's show them that we're not going to take anything from them, right? I almost feel like they were forcing it, and I have a hard time believing that philosophy will be part of their game plan going into tonight.
It can't be. It just can't be. And Sheldon Keefe's going to have all of that work to do to make sure that. And again, you have to imagine they learned their lesson. You guys know you have to play to your identity, no matter what sport it is. As a team, you do it one way 82 times. It's the teams that don't get nervous, the teams that don't change their style because it's now the playoffs and the intensity is ramped up, are the ones that have the most success.
By the way, from Mark Masters of TSN, I'm just seeing it on Twitter right now. William Nylander for our friend Ken Laird. Not taking line rushes at skate, passing puck with projected scratch Noah Gregor. Leafs showing same lineup as game one. So, Razor, if it's going to be the same lineup for the Leafs in game one and they try to get back to what they do instead of trying to be too physical, what does that look like from Sheldon Keefe's crew? What should the Bruins be expecting in terms of changes for game two?
Well, yeah, and again, I don't buy into lineups this time of year or what we see in the morning. It's amazing how things change in 5 hours during the afternoon come playoff time with hockey. These pregame skates are like they're jigsaw puzzles with not the right amount of pieces. You're trying to put it together, but it's a completely waste of time to do so because everyone tries to outsmart each other. I think what we're going to see from the Leafs let's do what the Bruins need to be better, because there were some things that, and Montgomery touched on it, I saw it a little bit. One, they have to clean up the blue line a little bit. They have to still do a better job getting pucks out of their zone. It almost cost them taking a penalty in the last seconds of that first period to go down 4-on-3. Swayman was huge on that kill to start the period, but if the Leafs get one there, it's a completely different game, and that was all started because of a poor clearance out of the zone. The puck goes back in front of the net, and McAvoy has to take a cross-checking penalty. So the Bruins have to do a better job there, and they have to hold on to the puck more. Leafs had the puck a lot. Of course, it was 4-0, so they're going to have more possession later in the game. But the Bruins have to do a better job holding on and playing defense from the Leafs' offensive zone.
So, man, can you believe it? It's like, 10 minutes and we haven't even asked you about the goalie situation. Not one question about the goalie situation. But, okay, obviously, they made the right call. A couple of things. One, were you expecting that? And of course, do they keep him in net?
Well, I think once it became Toronto, I expected Swayman first because of the matchup. I think that the way he's played this season against them just lent itself to go hit to him. The last 2 years as well, Allmark played the first games of that playoff series. So that just gives a different look, a different vibe, and it certainly worked out in game one. I just left pregame skate here. I've been a non-rotation guy. I think Jeremy Swayman goes back. You want to keep that hot hand. All that being said, I feel like we might see Allmark tonight.
Wow. How did you think Swayman played in game one? Because we did have a couple on the text and one or two in the Twitch chat, the real hockey hardos, who were like, Swayman wasn't that good in game one. How did thank you. How do you evaluate his play, and why was he good in game one?
Well, he was good in game one with timely saves, that huge right pad save in the first period early in the game. He was good with his controlling of the emotions. Jeremy can run hot. We've seen that a little bit, but he was right on the perfect edge of that. I think that gave his team a lot of energy. He fed off of it, and he saw his puck play was good behind the net. There's been some times in the last month and a half where the puck and the handoffs weren't clean. I thought he did a great job with that. So he was just exactly what you need in the playoffs. A guy who makes a couple of big saves and doesn't make any mistakes, no soft goals, no easy ones, and allows his team to get a lead and pull away with the lead.
So it's Hockey Talk with Andrew Razor Raycroft. That should be the name of your guys' show on Sunday, by the way. You know who's becoming a local legend so quickly?
Yeah, Ken and Mike.
Yeah.
Change it because Fourier wants it.
Hockey Talk with Razor. Maroon, this Pat Maroon guy, big fella. He's only played like when this is third game or something like that with the Bruins, and he's knocks a guy into the boards. Guy goes over, almost goes over. And obviously, that was a big energy shift. If you were at the game, you noticed that. But I'm assuming, is this something that is just needed for this team? Or is this, okay, listen, here's my opportunity, let me take advantage of it? I mean, was he, looking to kind of get some juice from the crowd to do that on purpose?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100 million percent. That's like a that is an experienced player who recognized an opportunity come playoff time to set the tone, and that's what experienced guys. That's why he's still in the league, because he's smart, because he has great hockey sense, because he understands what it takes to win in the playoffs, and he completely recognized that he was had an opportunity to put that guy into the boards. Regular season, you might let that puck go in deep, you change, but he knew he had him in a perfect spot, took advantage of it, and got the crowd going. And that gets your team going. That just builds energy and again, sets the tone is the best phrase for it. So he's really good at that. He really understands, again, what's expected of him, how to keep it simple, but how he can really affect games with small detailed plays like that throughout.
So how do they retaliate against him? Because I'm assuming like this is not his first rodeo. He could probably care less if he's a marked man or not. But is this something should the Bruins expect some sort of, you know, retaliation, some searching for some opportunity to take a shot at some of these guys?
No, if the Leafs start looking for retaliation already, they're in huge trouble. Again, just it looked like they were looking for retaliation before the Bruins did anything in game one. So the best way to play those guys is let them do their thing, let them sleep, let them be quiet. And if you're an Austin Matthews, you want to try and take advantage offensively if you get on the ice with those guys. You're not going to match him physically. It's impossible. He's like 6'9", 275 pounds. Like You have to understand the limitations and go at them at a different way. So, again, for him, for the Bruins, that fourth line, keep that identity, stay physical, stay on their case, and try and be as aggravating to play against as possible.
Andrew Razor-Raycroft with Gresh and Fourier. He's with us here on the Harbor One Hotline. Razor, two power play goals. What was it about the power play other than Jake DeBrusk that stuck out to you?
Well, again, it helps that the Leafs PK stinks. So, you know, can the Leafs make the adjustments? Because if they don't, that, you know, Pasta's going to get going, and Zacha's going to get going, and that unit's going to get going as well. So I think what the Bruins did well is they've accepted the changes. They split it pretty much right down the middle. So you got both units out there fresh. I think that's beneficial. And they're it just seems a little more simple, but I think they were trying to keep it simple prior to the change. But I think the changes themselves have forced simplification of the power play. And I think we saw that, and it opened things up in front of the net for Jake DeBrusk.
So does Toronto keep Samsonov in net tonight?
So again, I would keep Samsonov in for this reason. The only way, if he's actually the number one, if they actually kind of, you know, believe in both of them the same, I'm playing Samsonov again, because if I go to wall too early here, now what? And the Bruins win 4-1 again tonight, now what do you have? Now where you're at, where if you go back to Samsonov, you still believe in him, think that the goals were, you know, there's some tough plays there. Not all the goalies are going to make those saves. Go back to him. If you haven't won on home ice, you can go back to home ice, say Joe Wall's the hero, and let him go. So I think sometimes you can be a little quick after a loss to pull the trigger. That all being said, Joe Wall was good in the playoffs last season. So if they don't believe in Samsonov and they don't want to go back to him at all in the playoffs, we'll see Joe Wall tonight.
You know, the other thing about this goalie situation, like when the Bruins are scouting Toronto and they're looking for an edge, like, what's the scouting? Like, where's the weakness, the blind spot for Samsonov? Like, are they purposely attacking one area more than others?
Yeah, you're trying to go east-west on Samsonov. He can move too much. On the Jake DeBrusk, the second power play goal, Samsonov's going back to his post over on Marchand, over to Samsonov's left. He misses his post. So now he blows out past the post. He's 7-8 inches off of his mark. That puck goes back to the middle. He has no chance to get to DeBrusk. Whereas, so he can be over-athletic. He can overplay the puck at different times. So the Bruins are certainly trying to get him to move laterally. They're trying to take an extra step to the middle or an extra step to the outside to get him off of his angle, get him a little bit further away from the net to take him out of position, because he can be over-athletic and overplay certain types of situations.
Razor, last thing for you. If it is Allmark tonight and the Bruins lose and Allmark is okay but not great, are you creating a problem that you then have to manage, or is this all manageable because it's the way they've done business and whether they win or lose, this team will end up being okay?
I get the sense that they have decided internally what they're doing, and they've become confident in that. In that, no matter what we say or what's going on or the questions being asked, that they believe in this plan. So I don't know how it looks, guys. I think it gets difficult as series go on, and one guy's just a little bit better to try and force a rotation. That's my view. I've never really seen it happen. So that's my question. I have the same question as you, Gresh. If he loses, even if he loses 1-0,
right,
and Swayman wins game three, like, do you go back to the goalie that's lost or the goalie that's won twice? This is why I feel like it's hard. But if internally they've decided this is, you know, we're going to do it one way, and no matter what happens, we're going to lead into it. We're going to find out. And I think if it is Allmark tonight, we are going to continue questioning how long the rotation goes. And then if Swayman goes, then we throw it out the window altogether. Right. So if Allmark goes, the rotation questions still are kind of in play all the way till next Saturday in game four. You know, no matter what happens.
Well, Razor, we appreciate you. Thanks for hopping on. I know we will talk to you on Friday, where we will be in Detroit. And I'm sure. Go ahead. I
any
was gonna
suggestions?
Say, I'm sure you have a story or two about Detroit.
I am so excited that I get you guys on the back end of this trip in Detroit. So you're going to have three full days of Detroit in you by the time I talk to you on Friday. So I'm sure there'll be many stories that I would have already heard or we'll try and talk about on Friday. What I would suggest is don't go to Windsor. Do not cross the Ambassador Bridge and head into Canada. You will not miss anything over there.
That's good.
I feel like that's a
advice.
Challenge.
No.
I feel like there's a cryptic message in there.
Do not go to
Windsor.
I am looking out for you guys. Do not go to Windsor.
Foyer can take a cab there all he wants. And then I got to go rescue him or something like that. Razor, thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Great intel. Have a hell of a broadcast tonight. We'll talk to you on Friday. Thank you.
All right. Travel safe, guys.